When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Yes, this is our podcast where we got a couple of lesbians talking about how to make a baby.
How to make a baby.
I mean, who wouldn't want to hear that?
There are some exciting stories. There are some interesting stories. There are some unique stories.
We're making non-traditional families. I feel like we've really had some amazing guests so far.
We have. And we have a really wonderful one coming in today.
Yes, we do.
Very excited for this because it's very different from the other conversations we've had so far.
Yeah. So this is a friend of ours named Tom. Mm-hmm. He's a new friend. But he is a man who has donated to a lesbian couple. And by donated, I mean his business.
His business.
I don't mean, you know, his money or time. What's happening over there with you? So I think it's going to be a really exciting episode. I can't wait to hear it from this point of view.
I want to hear this perspective.
Yeah.
And he's involved.
Yeah, involved in their lives, right?
Right.
A known donor involved in their lives. I feel like, should we just like get right to it? Because I think we got a lot to talk about.
Let's bring him in because I want to know. Well, welcome, Tom. We have Tom here. We're very excited.
So excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
We were just discussing, you're our first male guest.
God, that makes me feel even more honored than having...
I love that you feel honored.
Honored to be asked and just to be the first male in general. It's great.
So exciting.
It's very exciting. We're so excited to hear your story.
I'm thrilled to be here, so.
Yeah, and I think our listeners are really going to eat this story up too. Because we all want to know what it's like on your end. We all want to know.
That sounds dirty.
Currently? it's an interesting perspective, but I'm originally from Westchester County. Mm-hmm. Lived there primarily my whole life, minus this little short relocation to Chicago. But I now live in Manhattan and Washington Heights, and I work in Manhattan. Early 40s, dark hair, dark eyes, 5'8.5", 175.
What's your handle on the, what's the thing where you slide it? Oh my God, I've been
Tinder
married too
scruff.
Long.
Which one are you looking for? Would you like to check my phone? I got them all.
You got them all?
Yeah, basically.
I thought there was Tinder, just the one.
No, there's Tinder and there's a new one called Chappie.
Wow.
It's kind of like a gay male version of Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
Chappie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is that like based on chaps? Like pantsless?
I think it's more like you're like a chap, a chap, right? Exactly.
I took it right to assless chaps.
Yes, you did. Karen, to hear your end. Can't wait to assless chaps. I see where this is going.
Yeah.
I see where this is going.
So we're lesbians and you're a gay man.
I am.
Yeah, which we're happy about. We love that. We love gays.
Thank you.
And so you just gave us your elevator pitch about you. So we're going to ask you, you are part of a non-traditional family, like we like to call it. We need to come up with a more sexy name than non-traditional
family. Like Chappie.
One big Chappie family.
Oh my God, that was so good.
Why did I just come up with
I'm just trying.
What's the elevator pitch for your non-traditional family?
Okay, so my non-traditional family includes two women, a lesbian couple, mm-hmm. who they have three kids, mm-hmm. who they're all from the same mom, actually. Woman carried all three children. Mm-hmm. The three kids are... there's a girl who's 7.5 and a set of twin boys who are 5. Yeah, and I'm a twin myself, so they...
Oh.
Was it natural twins? It wasn't...
I think it was a little bit of a combination of both. So, they knew the gene pool they were dipping into, but then I think to help the pregnancy along, they also did fertility drugs, so I think it was the combo of the two that kind of was like, yeah. And it wasn't like, oh, you're pregnant and you're having twins. It was like, oh, you're pregnant, and then 3 months later, oh, and you're having twins.
Oh.
It was like that kind of a...
Are they paternal twins or fraternal twins? Is that a thing?
Fraternal, no, fraternal or
identical. Identical or fraternal. Jamie, what has happened to you?
Pregnancy.
You got to get this baby
actually,
out.
Actually, I don't think I ever knew what it's called.
That was adorable,
just, like,
though.
You just completely made that fraternal or paternal.
They are fraternal. They are fraternal. What's interesting about them, they don't live in New York, actually. They live in Connecticut. excuse me. But specifically about the twins, what's interesting about them is that one of them is slightly larger than the other, mm-hmm. and they don't really resemble each other. But when my brother and I were born, I was born significantly larger than my brother as well. And then as the boys were sort of getting older and just sort of toddlers, sort of like, I noticed that their personalities were very indicative of my brother. And I inverted, like, the larger one was a little bit more like outgoing, wow. and the smaller one was a little bit more like tentative at first. And yeah, and like the way our teachers described us growing up in grade school, it was like that very much like he rushes and he takes his time, and it's interesting.
I'm gonna have a lot of eye opening moments.
We're gonna have so many questions.
Talking to
sorry,
you.
Wait, is that enough elevator?
No, that's pitch? Great. Okay, well, the only thing we didn't clarify in case any listeners aren't sure is that you are the sperm donor. I mean, I guess that's probably clear if you didn't get it, but I just want to say that.
Yes, I am the sperm donor for all three kids.
Okay.
And it's funny, when I tell people, like, oh, you know, I'm a sperm donor to a family, I'm a sperm donor to, you know, I have three kids who sperm donation, actually is how I usually word it. People don't automatically understand it's like three kids in one family.
Right.
They think you just were spreading your seed everywhere.
Exactly.
Right.
Which, and I was like, oh no. Like, then it's like I backpedal. I'm like, no, hold on. Wait, no. Hmm. Like, I didn't, yeah. That never came into my consciousness as like a thing to do.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to go and like make more money.
Like at a bank.
Exactly. No. It was never that.
Well, I mean, I feel like you're giving us a segue right into like our first question, which is, I mean, Jamie and I were talking earlier, like, how did this all happen?
Tell us, how did this come about?
Yeah, it's interesting story. So the birth mom.
By the way, I wish you were like, it's a really boring story.
Yeah, it's a boring story. They just basically came. I was sleeping one night, and the next thing I knew, they were.
Actually not boring.
Could you imagine?
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's been knocked out.
That's
the birth mom, and just for designation's sake, I usually call them the birth mom and the other mom, just to, you know, and it's uh-huh. for not, you know. So the birth mom and I actually have known each other for many, many years. We went to junior high school together and high school together, but we weren't like best friends. We didn't hardly even socialize, but we had classes together in common. What's even funnier is that around that same time, before we hit junior high school, we weren't in the same grammar school. So the way I knew who she was when I got to junior high school is that she and I were in the same Sunday school class together for like 2 years. So we didn't see her every day. It was like only in Sunday school. So
just with the Lord.
The Lord and Sister Bernadette. So it's funny now because it's like my biggest joke with her is, did you ever think, sitting in Sister Bernadette's Sunday school class, that the future father of your children was sitting right across the aisle from
you?
That
is amazing.
I mean, literally, like, yeah. So,
and you would have a wife.
And you would have a wife, exactly. I never thought I would have a wife, but I never thought she would. Never thought she would either. So there we go. So we've known each other for quite a while, but we didn't actually like connect as friends. We didn't socialize really until we were in our early mid twenties, mm-hmm. Through a mutual friend, and it's the same mutual friend who introduced the birth mom to her wife.
Wow, that person really has a major role in your lives.
Yeah. There's a little. I'll get to the sort of like the round off. It's actually not a.
Is it going to involve Chappie?
No, it's not. It's not. But it is kind of one of those meta moments. So I'm again. So the girls were at this mutual. We were all at this mutual friend's 30th birthday party. Mm-hmm. So 2003.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we were all turning 30.
As you do.
And I hadn't seen them in a while, so we were catching up. And, you know, they had said they were together 2 years by that point. And they had said how they were talking about starting, you know, thinking about starting a family soon. And I literally just came right out like, oh, do you need a sperm donor?
Really?
Yeah.
Had you thought about that before?
Never.
And were you serious? Or were you just kind of like, I'll do it?
No, I was. I mean, it's not like, you know, I wasn't. Didn't lie in bed at night thinking like, oh, I wish I could donate my sperm to somebody because I would really like to have children but not deal with them. Like, it was just, because I liked them as women. Mm-hmm. I liked them as a couple. And, you know, we saw each other, like, I knew about them socially enough. Like, I knew they weren't, like, crazy, wild, like, partier girls. I mean,
right.
So I was like, I kind of offered it willingly. Like, I'm happy to help. And they looked at each other and they looked at me. They're like, well, you were on our list to consider. And I was like, oh yeah, we could talk about it. Ha 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 ha. Drink my beer.
Right. Aren't you like so proud for just a minute that you were on the list?
Yeah, or absolutely.
Or were you just like, of
it's
course,
a big compliment.
But like, right, of course, they you know, I was standing right in front of them, so of course they could have just said that. Right. I'm not the only person who probably offered.
Well, you're
you were on our list.
I could see it though. Oh, you're a handsome guy. You have a good personality. You're like, so you know, you.
Delightful voice. Thank
you. Delightful voice.
But it's interesting because, and not to, I'm not blowing smoke up my butt, but they did know. But they did know because the birth mom did know my background. She knew.
Yeah.
She knew I had a twin brother. She knew I was, you know, Italian American. She knew I came from a performing arts background. So I did have certain things where they were like, even if not particularly looking for, but were at least decent qualities
and
a donor. And they wanted it to know their donor. They did not want an anonymous donor.
Right. That's it. I mean, we talked about this. When in our stories, like that idea that you get to see the grown up, not just some baby picture, like every baby's cute for the most part, you know, you get to actually see interests and personality and mm-hmm. smarts and like, there's something I could see really being interested in.
Right. We seriously considered using a known donor.
Okay, so now I'm curious, if you don't mind me asking a question from this perspective. Mm-hmm. So you had anonymous?
Anonymous.
Did you guys have anonymous?
Like an open donor from a bank. So right. The kids can meet them when they're 18, but we don't know them.
Oh, right. Got you. But when you because you said you see a baby picture and the baby picture is cute. So you never see the adult photo of the male?
Well, no, that's not true. They've started now. You can, like when we were, I think the second time around, like the bank that we were using, you could, some donors pay more to get, because it's like a racket, like get you like, you know, you pay for this form, pay for this audio file, but some that allowed it, you could see an adult picture, but we didn't for our kids.
Wow. The oldest picture we have of him, he's probably about 13.
Oh, you got 13 is even great. We got like, I think maybe like 3, like on a horse with a ball. Yeah. It was like,
I think that's kind of, I'm not going to say not deceiving, but like, I guess don't really care. I mean,
you can get audio recordings of them talking. Okay. And
I mean, you're going on faith. Yeah. That's the difference.
That's interesting.
You know? It's a big difference.
That's
so,
really
which is why we seriously considered a known donor.
Yeah, you have to hope they're not lying. I mean, she has your whole background. Like, for all I know, like my donor just like made up everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the banks are like, if you read about it, the banks say something like, listen, we've been doing this a long time. You know, we can sort of tell when people lie. I'm like, can you?
But really?
Yeah. Don't people get away with murder all the time?
Right.
I watch Netflix.
I want to take it back to
you
just blurting out, oh, I'll be your donor. Yeah. I had you thought about, did you know you wanted to have kids or is that something you never even really thought of?
Question.
When I was younger, honestly, like this is so funny. When I was younger, like literally like pre-pubescent, I did think about, and honestly at that point, not really about my sexuality either. Kind of thought like, oh, I can't wait to have a boy. And but that was the perceived thinking of like, I can't wait to get married and to a woman and have a boy. Because like at that point, honestly, I was like, and this is so funny. My sisters had a friend whose son's name was Robert Michael. And I thought it was the best name. I was like, I can't wait to name my son Robert Michael. I think that's such a nice, this is serious. And so, but then as I got older, and then I became an adult and a gay man. And then I was
you
like,
"You dated a Robert Michael."
I dated a Robert and a Michael and a Robert Michael and a Michael Robert. They were all they really deterred me from any thought of having children whatsoever. 4 exes. As I got older, and you know, I've been single primarily longer in my life than I've been in relationships, and I've had a very full life with performing arts and work, and you know, I was never a workaholic, but I had a very full life, and as I got older, I was like, I don't think I really want a kid to attach myself to. I like, I just like having my life. So when I
think
heard,
parents think that sometimes too, by the way,
after the fact,
right. When it's too late.
Right.
So you
just
really,
various points.
You're very forward thinking. Tom.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. I like to think so.
Yeah.
And so like, but then at that point when like that opportunity, like not really presented itself, but when they said that, I was like, oh, well,
it's like having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm not doing anything with it. You want it?
You know that saying, when a door opens, you got to walk through? I feel like you just walked through that. You just, a door opened so quickly in front of you and you just walked right into it.
Yeah. And it was literally like not predetermined. It wasn't like I like laid in bed and thought like, I want to donate my sperm to the birth moms. Like I just never ever, it just literally was. And they were like, are you serious? I was like, oh yeah, we could talk about it. And I just brushed it off.
Right.
And then 3 weeks later, I was a receptionist.
<Ding dong.
laughs> No, I was the receptionist at my job, And I was on the internet all day long and on Instant Messenger, AOL Instant Messenger, because it was that back then. Mm-hmm. And the birth mom sees me online and she's like, we're just chatting for a few minutes. And she says, hey, so were you serious about what you said at, you know, through a few weeks ago? And I said, you know, about being a donor. And she said, yeah. I said, no, yeah, let's, we could talk about it. And then like literally like shortly after, it was just, we got together like every couple months and had dinner and talked, and I heard what they wanted and they heard what I wanted, and you know, everything just sort of lined up. So it was about, for about a year and a half. I mean, we just, you know,
it, you discussed it for about a year and a half.
Yeah. I mean, wow. It just, cause I mean, it wasn't like we lived like next door to each other. So like everything, yeah, everything, it was over the course of a year and a half that we kind of kept figuring it out. Yes.
So you talked about what you wanted and they told you what they wanted.
Yeah.
And did they tell you they wanted you to be involved? I mean, clearly they wanted you to be involved, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
right?
I think that was a big proponent of it. It's like they wanted somebody who the kids would know growing mm-hmm. up. And, you know, I don't know. And honestly, as the donor, I didn't really know what my level of expectation was going to be as far as how often am I really going to see them? Mm-hmm. How often, how much are they going to get me involved or keep me informed on things? Like I just, you know, and as I kind of continued with the process, even like, I mean, after the banking process, like the legal process and thinking about things, like it was like, I don't know, is this what I really kind of want? You
right.
know, but ultimately through the discussions, yes, we figured out they wanted the person to be involved. I wanted to know who they were as well. I wasn't just going to write them off as be like, that's something I did in the past. Mm-hmm. So that kind of was probably the most compelling reason mm-hmm. for everybody. Well,
you mentioned the process because I feel like we jumped over, like, how did that... yes, it's your fault, Tom. How dare you jump over our narrative? I'm just kidding. No, but like, how... like did. I mean, turkey baster, and did you put it in a sack and put it in the mailbox? Did you, in like, with their legal papers? Like, I have so many, like.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to answer all of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so after about a year and a half, I started doing my banking, and mm-hmm. they call it banking. I would go to a lab every Saturday, mm-hmm. and I would go to the lab and I would make a deposit. I mean, basically what it is. Before that, and
so
I hope you don't mind me backing up for a minute, but like
no,
it wasn't like immediately like, oh, great, you want to do it? Great, let's get to the lab. It was, I did have to go through medical testing. And
oh, right.
You
medical, yeah, you had to be medically tested and make sure there was nothing wrong with your sperm.
Well, even right. besides that, like I had the whole thing like
the genetic
like,
panel,
genetic everything like that.
Oh yeah.
But then also yes, then there was the sperm test. But what happened interestingly was that so they tested the sperm like in like September of I guess 2004, and that summer I had been on Accutane because I was dealing with an acne issue, mm. and all over that packaging it says do not take if you're pregnant. Do not. It's like highly toxic medication. Yet we're putting this into our bodies to
of
get
course.
Rid of
because know, we care of, what we
for,
look like.
For vanity exactly.
Yeah.
So I was just coming off it. I had only been off it like 2 weeks. So when I went and when they did the sperm test, the results came back and they said to the moms, so there were two things. One, they said that the sperm count was low and that the sperm that were viable didn't survive the cryogenic process, like the freezing and the unfreezing. So they were like, you know, he may not be the best candidate.
Oh.
So the other mom tells me this, and I said, you know what? I said, can you let them know I just came off of Accutane? I said, because...
That's amazing you knew to connect that,
well,
you know?
I know. Trust me, I was my first time on Accutane and my right. only for my first time donating sperm, so I would never connect to them otherwise. But it kind of just occurred to me, I was like, well, how could I... I, you know, I had a sense that my boys were probably good from just other reasons. You know, I was like, that does not really equate to
By
what.
The way,
yeah, I don't think that's really accurate based on my experience.
Such a dude, though. Like, it's such a dude to just be like, of course my boys are fine. Good. It's
well,
like
no,
so hilarious.
I just mean, like, you know, I mean, being a sexually active male, like, you know there, what you know what you're holding.
Right.
You know what you're holding.
You're looking at us as I don't know what you're talking about, but it's fine. No, maybe Jamie knows from
to,
that guy
I'm trying
in
to not
school,
be
then.
Explicitly graphic. That's
yeah,
all.
That, yeah,
it's
yeah,
fine
it's
that you
fine.
Don't.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah. I knew what my body contained.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And I just couldn't think past that. So anyway, so... The doctors would say, okay, yeah, let's test him again, like in November. And when he comes in again, tell him he should abstain from any sexual activity 5 days for 5 days before he comes in.
And you were like, what am I, an animal?
Well, basically, I was because wait till you hear.
That was hard.
Wait till you hear. Uh-oh. So yeah, so no, so I did all that, and they said, you know, that the test results came back better for the second time. They said this count was still a little low, but it was certainly in a better position. So I did go back in start in January 2005. I started the banking. And I went like every Saturday for probably about 3 months. And people were like, oh my God, that's so much. But like, you know, you consider they're only filling like a test tube of sperm. And you're not, I mean, you're getting a reasonable amount, but they probably got like 8 to 10 vials per visit.
Right.
So they had a lot in storage. And, you know.
8 to 10 vials per visit?
I think.
From what I understand about these vials of sperm is from one deposit, they split that up into many, many, many vials.
Yeah.
Jeez.
They make a lot of money at those banks.
I mean, I think the vials are very, very thin.
They are tiny.
Yeah. I mean, it fits in like a little tiny like.
I only saw it after it was like spun and they took all the extra business out and it's like nothing in there.
Yeah. Centrifuge.
Yes.
It's pink.
Pink? It was sperm and not pink.
Ours was not pink.
Although that might
be. Maybe
that was
just the tube was pink. I don't know.
That's the first time. I didn't know that. See, your perspective is very different from mine. Yeah. The one question I do. I went to lab like every Saturday. And actually, just to make myself feel good and also to let the moms know like, hey, I am serious. I'm keeping up. Like I would call the moms every Saturday when I would leave the lab and say, hey, don't let you know I'm leaving the lab.
Because
like, I want them to know. Like I'm not too. Just like, well, I'm like, I didn't want them to just think like, oh yeah, he said he's going to do it. And then I don't go for 3 weeks. You know, like I was serious. I mean,
Tom, that's a level of intimacy that I think is important in making a family.
No, it's interesting.
Thank you. Because I did want them to have confidence and you know, mm-hmm. my seriousness of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The one question I do get asked, and I'll just rip the band-aid off, is, you know, did they have gay porn? And actually, the first time I went, they did not have gay porn.
Oh.
How upset were you?
And then you asked
what's really funny is they did have a porn movie in the DVD player. And my mother never hears this ever.
Oh, she's
ever. She doesn't even know I'm here tonight, so I doubt she's gonna hear this. But anyway, so they had a porn movie in the DVD player, and it was like a really badly made, like pirate swashbuckler straight porno movie.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I put it on for a few minutes. I was like, this is it. Well, actually, before that, I was trying to play the DVD with the remote, and this is really funny. The only words that were coming up on the digital panel were load, load, load. I'm like, that's the goal. That's the goal. We're working on that. Let's get. But anyway, so the movie just wasn't doing it for me. So I was like, all right, shut this off. So the first time I did it by memory.
Oh gosh, yeah, using muscle that's memory. Tough.
And then every subsequent time there was gay porn, and I was like, oh, it's here. And I'm supposed to use it.
Yeah.
So at this point, you said you talked for a year and a half. Was that just like talking specifics about what it would look like and like were you doing legal paperwork?
We didn't get into legal paperwork that early on.
Now, had you before sperm or after sperm?
After sperm.
That's fascinating.
So you make all your deposits.
Right.
And then they waited another 4 years to inseminate.
Yeah, and it was really just I think for them they were saying they were like trying to save money to be able to like have everything done and have kids.
That's so smart of them.
I mean, but I think ultimately it came down to like the birth mom is we were all getting older.
Right.
She was by that point in her mid 30s. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, well, this is never gonna be a great time, so let's just do it.
You're never ready.
You know?
I guess I'm just like fascinated that they did all that and then just paused. Like it's like I do things in spurts because I'm ready to do it.
It probably wasn't cheap to keep it for that long on ice every month.
No.
I mean, I don't know what that costs, but it wasn't something I had to deal with. But I don't really know what the circumstances were around that.
I also think it's interesting that you did the sperm without the legal document that you were so trusting that you were just like, we'll work it all out. So you guys must have had a really good relationship.
Yeah, I mean, again, based on everything verbally that we had discussed, I didn't really feel like... I feel like if there's anything in the verbal discussions and meetings that really gave me great pause, knowing me, I probably would have said, I don't think I can do this. Like, I would have probably hit the brakes a lot sooner. But it seemed like, and, you know, interesting that you asked that because as in those 4 years that they didn't inseminate, I really wasn't in touch with them all that much.
Hmm.
And that's when I probably had my biggest, like, reaction of, ooh, is this what it's going to be like? Like, I'm not going to hear from them as often as I expected because, like, I even remember, you know, I kind of went to, like, a free legal clinic to kind of ask the question, like, I kind of felt a little bit between a rock and a hard place at that point because I was like,
I haven't heard from them. This could have gone south so many ways. Like, I mean, Legally, we need a lawyer to tweet us or email us because it's like, I wonder legally, like, what if it had gone badly and they had, like, could they have sued you for child support? You know what I mean? Like, because you only had verbal conversations and it's like, it's fascinating. Like, I'd love to know, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to my memory. I'm 99% sure that paperwork stuff did not really happen until they were... Like until it definitely after sperm was deposited. That I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is during the while I was dealing with the legal paperwork with the lawyer who I sought out, but the girls covered. I didn't really pay for anything. I don't know why I had to choose to say that, but
it's an interesting aspect to the story. I mean, it is interesting to know.
Yeah. They did want me to. They wanted me to originally use their own lawyer, and I said no. I want somebody. It's just for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that lawyer interestingly said, you know, it was great that we were doing the paperwork, so that we had some kind of contract among the three of us. She said, you know, but you have to understand. She said, if something happens down the line to that relationship, or if God forbid something happens to the moms and the kids are put with a legal guardian, and that legal guardian is having financial difficulty. Even though you have this agreement between you that says you are not financially responsible, you are releasing your rights, et cetera, anybody can walk into a court of law and still say you are the natural father and you owe those kids child support. She said, and the judge behind the table can either honor the agreement or say this means nothing and you owe them child support.
Is that still true to this day?
I mean, that was happening in 2007, 2008 was the response I got. So as far as whether that still holds true today, I don't know.
Wow.
But that's when it was signed. I mean, that's when the paperwork was signed. So I don't know what holds true anymore. But I mean, but that certainly, that was a big like.
Yeah, that'll give you a pause. Because it's like they could both die or something. Grandparents could, after you.
So you deposited it and then they wait the 4 years and then you're ready to do this. So you do this paperwork. And in the paperwork, you basically signed away your rights.
Correct. Right.
And in the paperwork, it says you are not monetarily responsible for them.
Right.
Does it say anything about you being able to have a relationship with them, or is that just like a verbal thing?
I don't recall there is, and interestingly, I don't think there is. And the reason why I have that memory is because I recall asking the lawyer, you know, can I put anything in there that says I have the right
visitation.
The right to initiate visitation. Not that it was hinging on that, but like. I think I was coming off of this 4-year period of where I'm not hearing from them for like 6 to 8 months at a time.
Right.
And I'm like, what's going to happen? And I was like, you know, I wanted to have something in there saying like, you know, I actually do have the right or the ability to say, hey, can I see the kids on this particular weekend? Can I come up? And the lawyer's like, it's not about you.
Wow.
She's like, yeah, I can't put that in there.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So you really had to operate on faith.
And like, you seem like a very, I think you operate on intuition a lot too, it seems like.
I do. Ultimately, I mean, I have to say I've been very, very lucky and blessed with the relationship that has acquired between me and them because they've kept me in the loop from the day they were going to get inseminated the first day.
I love it. So they decide they're going to go get inseminated.
Right.
They tell you.
Yeah.
And then they go and they do it. And did it happen right away?
I don't think, no, it did not happen right away. What's really funny is I was walking into my Monday morning staff meeting and literally my cell phone rang and they're like, oh, we're talking a lot about you this morning. I was like, oh, why is that? And they said, well, we're gone away to getting inseminated. I was like, okay, good luck. And I hung up the phone and I sat in my Monday morning meeting with my heart racing for an hour. And I was like, holy fuck, like it's on, like this is happening. But then it was again, like, you know, but it was like from that moment, like they told me shortly after, like, I don't think the first one, if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, but I don't think the first one took, but then the second time it was like it took.
So it was fairly quickly.
Yeah. And I saw them a couple times through the pregnancy and then... So my daughter was supposed to be born on July 4th.
Do you call her your daughter? And do they call you dad?
They don't call me dad. They call me Tom, but they know I'm their dad.
Right.
Like I get the cards at Father's Day and everything.
They know goodness.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I'm glad I didn't have a cocktail before the school because I would have been like crying. But it's the thing. Like that's, we'll get to that. But it's like you know, that part of it's been kind of like mind-blowingly amazing.
When they were pregnant with your daughter, were you freaking out?
Not really. Cause I mean, I was just like, all right, it's a pregnant woman. Like I was kind of like, I wasn't didn't see them all the time, so yeah. I was like, oh, she's a little bigger, and how you feeling, right. And you know, like it's really real, you know. It just, but then what happened is, I mean, the weird thing is that so my daughter was supposed to be born on July 4th, mm-hmm. and I was at work, and I left my desk to use the restroom, and I got back to my desk, and there was a voicemail on my cell phone and a voicemail on my work phone, which they never called me on. And it was the other mom, and she's like, "Hey, Tom, it's Nancy. I just want to call it, you know, that we have a baby girl today." And she said she arrived a whole month early. It was June 4th.
Oh.
Yeah, and like the mom was had to be in the hospital because of like low fluids or whatever. So like she was in the hospital. I knew she was in the hospital for like about a week, and they just she was born a whole month early, and like whole month early, full term, like big, like normal size child.
That's great.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So
that's great. Okay, so you have your daughter. Mm-hmm. Things change a little bit for you in your life or no?
Yeah, actually. So I moved to Chicago 2 months after she was born, which was a predetermined move for me. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, in hindsight, I mean, I came home every 6 months and like visited my immediate family and them. And it kind of was probably good because it gave them an opportunity to mm-hmm. like establish their life without me there. And she was so young anyway, like she wouldn't remember.
Because you don't have set things, like you see them once every 6 months. Like you don't have, do you have set things? Like
now I do. I mean, not like every, it's like we go out and calendar out, you know, plan out the entire year. But like, you know, we have been establishing interesting things. Like I'm usually there like now, like Easter Saturday, the Saturday before Easter. So mm-hmm. I'm there and every visit now is like, I go up on a Saturday, I sleep over until Sunday because so it gives me a full day with them. And like, they like have me there for breakfast and waking me up at 7 o'clock and, you know, the whole thing. So
you're such a novelty.
Oh my God, it's like,
I really kind of am. It's like, and now that the boys are like 5 and like they all have their own personality and like,
yeah.
I'm the male figure they see the most. Yeah. Often, like it's like.
Do you see him every couple of months? Every 6 months?
About like, every 6 weeks. Wow. It kind of averages out to be about every 6 weeks. I mean, if you figure like holidays and birthdays and like everything, something's really always landing every 6 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it pretty much averages out to be about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so fascinated by the idea that you like go stay at their house and it's like this just, it is really just this
You're
little
a family.
Family. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's cool. I mean, it's cool. Like even young, like when it was earlier. God, I want to say maybe when I first went back from Chicago, like in that first year, like I think my daughter had her birthday party, something where I went to their house and like the moms and her all had like these like temporary tattoos on their mm-hmm. arm. And I was like, I want one. And they gave me one and they were like, look, so we're like a family. And I was like, aww. I mean, but it's like all like my daughter just drew something at school. And she's like, it was a drawing. It's like, this is my family, my mom's, my dad, my brothers and me. And it's like, aww. She included. And so it's like, it's in the consciousness. And for me, it's like, it's continually mind blowing. Like mm-hmm. it, that's not part of my everyday consciousness really. Cause I don't wake up with them. I don't see them.
Yeah. You don't have to ground them.
No, exactly. Like, yeah. you know, and, but for me, it's like, but when I'm with them, I'm like, oh yeah. And you know, that relationship, I think it was the magnitude of that relationship hit me at the boy's second birthday because she's a year or so older than them. And the other mom said to me at the birthday, she said, can you believe the boys are 2? And I was like, no. I said, and at that point, actually, yeah, my daughter was like 3.5. And it was shortly after her third birthday that she started asking, who is Tom? Because right. that's when I came back from Chicago and I was seeing her more regularly. And that's when they started saying, Tom is your dad.
Why does he keep staying over?
Right. Well, mm-hmm. Tom is your dad. And so then she would have, you know, she'd have a storybook with stories with kids who have a mom and a dad. Mm-hmm. She's like, I have a dad. My dad is Tom. So she was making that connection. Mm-hmm. So and when the boys turned 2, and here I am already, I'm back 6 months and I'm getting this from my daughter, like, oh, you're my dad, right? Like, kind of obsessive about it a little bit. Not like, but just
she's
making sure she's saying it every time she sees me, mm-hmm. in one way or another. And
did that freak you out?
It didn't freak me out. I was really ready for the big old cry though, and it kind of happened really nonchalant because the moms for like 2 visits every single time when I've been, they say, did she ask you? Did she ask you? I was like, did she ask me what? Did she ask you if you're her dad? I was like, no. They said, she never stops talking about it. I was like, she has not asked me. And then one day we were at the park and I was holding her hand while they were buckling up the boys in the stroller. And the birth mom says, did you have something you wanted to ask Tom? And she looked up at me and she said, are you my dad? And I was like, ooh. Yep.
Yes,
yeah,
I
know. I'm like holding it together. But like, it is. It was like, it was so nonchalant. I was like, thank God it wasn't any more of a buildup because I would have been a wreck.
Right.
But it's been like, and then as the boys got older, then, you know, my daughter would be like, go see your dad. She did a push voice. Go see your dad. Like, go say hi to your dad. Like, kind of joked around.
So they grew up just kind of knowing.
Well,
I have one more question.
Yes.
Is your family involved? And did you tell your parents right away? And
yeah, that's an interesting question. It's a very good question. So I did not tell my parents right away. I did tell my siblings right away because mm-hmm. When I started doing the legal paperwork, I started telling them. Actually, I told them probably fits and starts, but they knew before the first baby was born that I was doing it. It wasn't until I moved back from Chicago to New York. So in 2013 is when I finally had a conversation with my parents about it. The boys were not even a year.
Yeah.
And my daughter was just turning three.
You're like, hi guys, I have three children.
Yeah. I mean, it was like,
what?
Look, I come from an Italian American Roman Catholic background. So I was expecting the worst conversation ever. Going off tangents, but like it's just the funny things that I come up with at the time that they're happening. So my mom frequents a restaurant that's owned by a lesbian, and like so, and she loves the restaurant. She loves the woman who's the owner and her girlfriend and everything. So I'm thinking, like, I told my siblings, it's like, I'm just letting you know, I'm probably going to tell mommy today. I'm just letting you know, I just want you to know. And my siblings had various degrees of acceptance, which I'll just leave there.
Okay.
So as I'm driving up to my parents' house, I see my mom getting into my dad's car. I said, where are you going? She goes, oh, we're going to dinner at Blankety Blanks, the restaurant. And she said, do you want to come? I said, yep, I'm coming.
Oh my goodness.
So I was like, good. This is a good like precursor to like this bomb dropping.
There's a lesbian.
Right. You know,
Speaking
she's a lesbian,
of
right?
lesbians.
So, but I didn't do it at the restaurant.
They eat sperm.
Yeah, no. Sometimes. No, I didn't do it at the restaurant, but we went back to their house and I had to help them out with something. And then I said, so I need to have a chat with you.
And it was
interesting. I mean, the reaction, it was not terribly emotional. It was very actually just a non-emotional discussion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my parents being in their mid, late 70s, Italian American, Roman Catholics, their reactions were not unexpected. You know, it was, I showed them a picture and they know that the door's always open for them to meet them. They've never met them by choice.
Oh.
My siblings have met the kids. Pardon me. I hosted a brunch about 3 years ago over the holidays because my brother does not live in New York. So when he was home, I hosted a brunch to have my siblings meet the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually fun because like they were, you know, everybody was really excited to meet.
So exciting.
Yeah. And the biggest like another waterworks moment for me in the whole process. My siblings were all there, and then my sisters left, and my twin brother was there with his wife, whatever. My brother goes, let's take a picture with the boys.
Aww.
So I'm like sitting on the couch. I remember sitting on the couch, and like I see this picture, and I have this huge smile on my face. You see me, and it was like,
I
am trying to hold it back. It was like that weird, like, holy fuck. Like, I'm sitting here with my twin brother and my twin sons. It was, it was like one of those things. Like, every single time I see that picture, I was like, I know exactly what I was thinking at that moment.
Right.
It was bizarre. Sorry.
That's
a good, powerful moment.
If this was video, I'd be zooming in on you right now. The producer and me.
I'm not crying, you're crying. Hashtag, I'm not crying,
you're
crying.
And we'd be saying, tell us more about that, Tom.
I know. Get the camera closer on him. Crying. He's crying. Tom crying.
No, but that's really wonderful and it's really sweet.
Thank you.
That's a great story.
You know, I think I've been really, like I said, I think I've been really blessed with how everything has happened for me with everything from having discussions with the moms to the current state of affairs with their family. I mean, they've kept me engaged. They've kept me involved. I mean, you know, even if they like go away for a weekend and they send me a picture 3 weeks later, like, oh, we went to Sesame Place. So I was like, oh, nice. Like, I'm not like,
they didn't ask me.
I'm like, oh, good. They went away, you know?
You're actually like, I didn't want to go to Sesame Place.
Right. But just the whole thing is like, it's a really good balance. And everybody says to me, like, the question I get out too is like, how are you with all that? I'm like, I'm actually, it's great. It's like a great balance for me. Like,
it's almost like you're a divorced dad. Like you're there on the holidays, but they don't hate you.
Right.
Like they're so grateful to you, but you just get to pop in and you're like an 80s divorced dad.
Mm-hmm. And with the pop collar.
Yeah. With like the young girlfriend.
Right.
Maybe that was just my dad.
Maybe that was just your dad.
No, they're pop. Collar.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, I've been really lucky. I mean, I sometimes call them like my pseudo wives, and it's you know, it's funny.
Pseudo wives, I love.
Yeah, sister
wives. One time, like at like one of the kids' birthdays, like they were like kind of one mom was snapping at the other one. The other mom said, "Don't yell at me in front of her husband." Like it's like it's like a joke, like you know, a joke. But it's like I do like I am the the male figure they see most often. Like, they have an uncle, like one of the sisters' husbands lives close by, and the other uncles don't live in New York. They have, mm-hmm. So there's, I'm the closest one mm-hmm. by nature to them. So I've been really lucky. I mean, I just, you know, leading up to everything, some people would send me articles and be like, hey, I found this article that you may want to read. Like,
it went it's about horribly, about, right, check this
exactly,
out.
Exactly, about like a guy, yeah, like, right. Oh yeah, they sued him. And, you know, like that kind of stuff. So like, I don't want to read, like, thanks for your concern. I don't really want to read that, but I'll read it because I'll read it. But like, I've been lucky.
You've been blessed. Everything has been smooth. And you stay so open about it too. I think that's a major point. It works in your favor. You seem just very like amicable and open about how this is all going too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I mean, honestly, every day though, I mean, I always hope that it remains as good. Mm-hmm. Moving forward. I mean, like, you know, I mean, they're not even teenagers yet, and there's going to be a lot more to see. And that's the thing too. Like,
they might want to come live with you.
I don't think it would ever go to that degree.
I don't think that my door's open like that. Well, it sounds like you guys are all making it work, and we're so glad that you were able to stop by and share the story with us. Amazing.
Thank you so much.
I thank you guys for having me. And I
have
would love
so
to.
So many more questions.
We're going to have a part two.
I would not, I tell you right now, I would not mind coming back. I would love to talk more.
That would be great.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I'm overwhelmed.
I am too. I am really, he got me really thinking about a lot of stuff. It's just nice to hear that this non-traditional family is just making it work. Mm-hmm. And the kids seem happy. And they have two moms and a dad.
And a bonus dad.
How cool is that? My kid would love a bonus dad.
Yeah.
She asks if everybody's her dad. So.
you're in that phase.
We're in that phase.
That's the other thing, too, is like two lesbians, it's, you know, they get a male influence in there, too, is which, you know, I don't get bunged up about that, but I don't think it could hurt to have as well, you mm-hmm. know? So I think I just feel like they're checking a lot of boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, listen, I feel like this is the time to light up the social media with this. I mean, you guys must have questions and comments about this story for
Most
Tom
definitely.
Or for us. So hit us on Twitter at Ovaries Talk.
Or on Facebook at If These Ovaries Could Talk.
And follow us and share, mm-hmm. share this.
Share a story, ask a question.
Yeah.
You know.
Tell us about your legal experiences around pregnancy.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
Tell us you love us. You can always tell us that. There's no problem with that ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do love to be loved.
All right.
I mean, I feel like it's time.
It's time.
Say it. I'm going to say eggs ovaries out.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.